Welcome to Renewables in Action,
the podcast that gives you all the information you want to know about renewable energy across the world.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back again to our podcast, Renewables in Action. And as usual, I bring you people that matters in the industry, people that just shape and make this fantastic renewable energy world. So today I want to talk to a CEO which has very interesting news to share with you. So what is it about? I'm just going to leave him talk to you a little bit more about that. But what I can say is I'm bringing to you the CEO of Eterna Energy. Who is Eterna Energy? They are a licensed energy trader that enable businesses in South Africa to decarbonize their electricity supply and also IPP to build a new renewable energy capacity. So we're going to have a very interesting conversation. So without further ado, let me welcome on stage Evan Rice.
Do you want to understand the renewable energy sector, its trends, business models, and insights? Are you interested in learning about the challenges and opportunities, as well as how you or your business can thrive in this new world? Welcome to Renewables in Action, the show that helps you realize your potential in this industry, which is the fastest growing source of energy in the world. Here is your host, former automotive engineer turned clean energy entrepreneur and expert, Tony Tiyu.
Evan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Tony. How are you doing?
Excellent, excellent. So I've been doing some little intro about you, but I didn't say too much because I wanted to leave you the opportunity to share that with people. But before we dive into that, it's always good to have a little intro about who is Evan and what is Eterna Energy.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Tony. Yeah, so my name's Evan Rice. I'm the CEO of Eterna Energy. We're a licensed electricity trader in South Africa. I've been working in renewables and clean tech, I guess, for most of my career, more than the last 15 years in various roles. We're based in Cape Town, and we're trying to make a contribution to solving electricity and decarbonization challenges.
Excellent, excellent. So I beg your pardon, I say Evan, it's Evan, right? So I
just it's Evan, that's that. Correct.
So Evan, I noticed that you are actually new into the role, if I'm correct. That must be quite challenging. So what brought you into this role? Is it because you are the super guy who's going to take them to the moon?
Tony, I don't think it's because of that, but hopefully we get there anyway. I moved back to South Africa from Europe about 15 months ago, and we've actually been working on this in the background through that time. More recently made the announcement, gone a little more public around it, but mm-hmm. I got its trading license in 2022. You know, the process started before that of applying for this. So we've been working in the background, but more recently, we've actually started closing some contracts with customers, and we're moving towards closing a bunch of contracts with generators. And so we needed to come out of the shadows, but it's not like I'm stepping into something cold. We've been working on this for a couple of years already.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And I know you've had some pretty interesting news to share with people recently, and we're probably going to talk about that. And I read the press release, and it was very interesting to look at. And I wanted to know whether you could tell us how Eterna Energy business model works and how it actually addresses the key challenges that we see in South Africa.
Yeah, sure thing, Tony. So as I mentioned, we're a licensed electricity trader in South Africa. We have one of the five trading licenses that have been issued by NERSA. Effectively, what that allows us to do is buy and sell electricity and use the national transmission and distribution network to get that electricity from generators to clients. So we focus very specifically on only renewable energy. Mm-hmm. And what Eterna does very simply is we contract on a long-term basis with renewable energy generators, and we package and break up that portfolio as offerings to business customers all around South Africa so that they can get access to clean generated power that's not generated on site behind their meter.
Okay, excellent. So I think for people in this industry, so if there is one term that keep coming back, and I believe you can help us with that because you're an energy trader, you're taking energy from here, distributed to other customers over there. So I heard a lot about winning. Obviously, I'm from the industry. I know what it is. But I'd like you to explain how the winning process works and also talk about the challenge that we see in transporting electricity to the Eskom grid.
Yeah, perfect. So, look, wheeling is effectively a concept or process by which generators and their customers are able to make use of the transmission and distribution network, pay use of system charges to conclude a transaction where the generation is not co-located with a customer. Okay. Now, obviously, physically, the electricity that is generated at a plant 1,000 kilometers away from a customer isn't necessarily consumed by that customer. You know, whatever's put into the grid is consumed instantaneously wherever it is closest to where it's generated. But this is a concept that allows for private generation to get built and private customers to buy this while using a shared infrastructure that is typically publicly owned. Okay. Now, this is in South Africa, at least, done on the basis with Eskom that you measure all of the energy that's generated monthly in each of the time of use categories that the industrial and commercial tariffs are based on in South Africa. And at the end of the month, you can allocate that energy from those generators to your customers within each of those buckets. It's more of an accounting transaction than a physical trade per se. But what this does do, it allows private balance sheets, private investors to increase generation capacity in a country on the back of customers saying, we're willing to sign up to this in the long term. Okay. So it's a new model for crowding in private capital without it having to be the government or the public utility as the off-taker, the buyer, the guarantor. And, you know, this is one of the key challenges that you referenced in your initial question, right? In South Africa today, we're faced with a very significant generation capacity shortfall. We've got very regular load shedding, something that's fairly common, you know, all across the continent, but we desperately need new generation to be built. To do that, independent power producers, to get those plants financed, they need long-term offtake. And businesses at this stage are coming under increasing pressure to decarbonize due to the climate change challenge that we're facing globally. Their customers are demanding, you know, in their supply chains that they're doing this. And what Etana can do in the middle here is we can provide the opportunity to customers that aren't big enough to buy the output of an entire solar farm or entire wind project. They can now still buy clean energy by working with an intermediary trader who manages that risk between the long-term contracts with the generators and perhaps more flexible shorter-term contracts with customers that more suit their business needs.
Mm. And I know the press release was talking about the very new, lucrative, hopefully, contract that you have with AutoCast. So how long did it take to negotiate this contract?
Yeah, we've been working with AutoCast and, in fact, the broader business, Nelson Mandela Bay Business Chamber kind of energy cluster for almost 2 years on this initiative. You know, they started looking for a solution to provide them with clean power and predictably priced power. A few years ago, Etana was selected as the preferred bidder, and we've been negotiating with them as a group over the last couple of years to get to this point. This is kind of new in South Africa. Trading has happened for a while. There have been some energy trading activity in South Africa for, you know, the last 15 years. But typically, it's been a little bit of excess power from an embedded generator somewhere that another customer wants to buy, rather than purpose-built new generation capacity getting banked on the back of customer offtake through a trader. So we've had to go through the process of getting contracts that work with the generators, work with the customers, negotiating these, making sure we're understanding the needs and concerns of all parties. And that hasn't been a quick process. We think we've landed on something now. And, you know, in this context with AutoCast, they're one of more than 30 businesses that are part of this initiative that will all sign the same base PPA template.
Mm. Okay. And I know we're talking about, if I'm correct, so 400 megawatts here, right, in terms of the renewable energy portfolio, isn't it?
Yeah. So our initial portfolio upon which this contract is based is 400 megawatts. It's a mix of wind and solar, predominantly wind. Mm-hmm. We have four projects in there spread around different parts of the country. You know, these will be constructed over the next 2 years. Some of the solar will come online in late 2025 and the wind during 2026. We've got a lot more that we want to do beyond that, but this is the initial portfolio that forms the basis for this contract.
Have you already engaged the developers that will build those power plants, or that's the next job that you're going to do?
No, absolutely. I mean, we've been doing this all in parallel over the last couple of years.
Imagine.
We've got long-standing relationships. One of Etana's majority shareholders, H1 Holdings, whose primary business over the last 7 or 8 years has been investing in large-scale wind and solar and battery plants in South Africa. And so we've got a long-standing relationship with international and local independent power producers where our shareholders have co-invested in those assets. And we've utilized those relationships to secure pipeline and partnerships where we get to build grid-connectable projects. And that's really the key point here. In addition to having a generation shortfall in South Africa, as we go through this transition to a more renewable powered grid, the grid that we have today was not built to evacuate power from the parts of the country where the best wind and solar resources are. It was built to move power that was generated from the coal fields in the northeast of South Africa throughout the rest of the country. And the kind of solar and best solar and wind resource is actually in the kind of western and southern half of the country. And so now we're facing grid constraints as well. It's a major challenge where there's basically very limited new capacity to connect new wind and solar projects. So having those relationships with independent power producers and working with them on bringing their pipeline of projects that can connect to the grid has really been key and a real strategic focus of ours.
Yeah. And I think the relationship that you've developed with the Nelson Mandela Bay Business Chamber is something here. It's quite admirable. It definitely shows that there has been long conversations mentioned over the last 2 years. So how do you believe this cluster approach actually benefit both parties?
Yeah, Tony, it really is key. As I mentioned, traders are filling a gap in the market here for customers that aren't big enough to buy the output of a whole wind or solar project. In addition, most business customers don't want to sign a 20-year take-or-pay PPA and assume all the risk associated with that, right? So when you're targeting these guys that are smaller than the largest mines and smelters and other really large energy users in the country, individually, they might not have the buying power, the internal legal expertise, to conclude a fairly complex transaction. So when you aggregate their demand, it becomes really attractive. At the end of the day, this Nelson Mandela Bay Business Chamber cluster could take the output of the equivalent of, a couple of large wind farms collectively. But individually, you can sign any new wind project on the back of a contract with any of them. So, negotiating new complex contracts, dealing with smaller customers, if you can do this as a collective, you can get to a better position. It might take a little longer, but you can get to an agreed position that's standardized and the cumulative demand is big enough to make it interesting to IPPs and a trader. So we believe this is, it's really a fantastic model. And for sure, we're excited to replicate it in South Africa as well. What it will require is that one of the challenges with wheeling, and it makes it still complex, is Eskom's got a wheeling framework and tariffs in place, but half of South Africa's customers are connected to municipal electricity distribution grids. And they've got to have a wheeling policy, a wheeling tariff in place, and they need to amend their supply agreements with Eskom to enable wheeling. So there are complexities here. It's mostly, let's call it administrative. But when you've got more and more parties involved in the transaction, it always makes it more difficult. So, I think we can replicate this. The key is going to be to do it in areas where if it is municipal, a municipal grid that the municipality has the will, has a wheeling policy and approved wheeling tariffs in place. And if we do that, we can work with a collective through a business chamber or an industry association to put together an offering that is beneficial to all their members. And that would mean that slightly smaller users, industrial and commercial users, get access to an opportunity to buy clean power when it would not be possible otherwise.
Yeah. And as we're talking about replicating that across the region, and I'm also hopeful that probably in the next couple of years, you could maybe replicate that outside of South Africa, SADC region, rest of Africa, but let's take it one step at a time. But just to be very clear, even within the context of South Africa, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people listening to that and say, hey, I like to see how this can actually benefit our municipality as well. So can you be crystal clear, what are the benefits customers are really getting from Etana Energies here?
Sure thing. I mean, look, there's effectively three buckets here. Most important for many customers is just, are there cost implications or savings benefits for me? And like the good news is, signing deals with us today, we are already able to offer energy, electricity at a cheaper price than grid tariffs when these plants will come online in 25 and 26. So that's a benefit. Coupled to that, its increases on an annual basis are linked to inflation, whereas historically for over the last 15 years and into the foreseeable future in South Africa, we're expecting to see a continuation of above inflation electricity tariff increases. So customers are getting price certainty and savings from day one, and those savings are expected to increase over the life of the contract on an annual basis. The second thing here is clean energy and the decarbonization benefits. So customers get, they get the renewable energy certificates from all the energy that's supplied to them. They can use that to show that their electricity usage in a given year, X percentage of this came from clean sources, and use that in their carbon accounting, which for many companies is becoming, you know, not just an imperative from doing the right thing, but a real financial imperative as well. There's impending carbon taxes in South Africa. Exporters from South Africa are going to face carbon import tariffs from the European Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism in a couple of years. And just for many businesses in South Africa, their customers are saying, you know, if you can give me clean power, you can give me a low carbon solution, we're going to take that into account in our selection criteria and our procurement processes. So that's a second big bucket. And the third, which is, you know, probably more specific to the South African context, Etana is a majority Black-owned company. Therefore, all electricity purchased from Etana counts towards the buyer's Black Empowerment Preferential Procurement Scorecard. Whereas if you buy anything from a state-owned utility, that is exempt. And, you know, this is a really important part of and reality of doing business in South Africa. Managing your BEE score is a critical component of winning business and of being a good corporate citizen and driving the change we need to see in the country.
Excellent. I think that's very clear. So we talked about the cost saving that you're providing to your customers. Obviously, the renewable energy certificate. Thank you very much for mentioning that, because not a lot of people still know about that. So that's low-hanging fruit people want to be considering, but also the BEE preferential procurement. So that's, for me, it's very clear. So I'm sure people listening to us, they'd be really excited. So coming back to the Nelson Mandela municipality, I know there's a very good relationship there. We mentioned that historically, I've always supported electricity trading. Can you talk about the cooperation with the local authority in sort of enabling your operation, making it possible?
Yeah, sure. Well, as I referred to before, not all municipalities in South Africa have a wheeling framework or approved tariffs in place. And that's a prerequisite for being able to do the kind of transaction that we've done here with Autocast. Nelson Mandela Bay has got a long history of supporting this, going back to before the 2010 World Cup. You know, the first trader, they enabled a wind turbine to be assembled in Nelson Mandela Bay, which powered the stadium in the World Cup. And so they've long supported this. You know, the region around there is an incredibly good wind resource region. There's a lot of wind farms developed in the Eastern Cape around Nelson Mandela Bay. And so I think they've always seen this as a way of enabling investment in their surrounding communities and supporting the local business community in the renewable energy industry. You know, it's really, really critical to have a counterparty here, or they're not a counterparty to the agreement, but they're a critical part of enabling it. Without the municipality supporting this and putting those tariffs in place and making the contracts available to amend their supply agreements with their customers on a willing basis, we couldn't do the work we're doing. So it really is critical. And, you know, fortunately, they've been forward thinking for a long time and continue to support this, which is really critical to solving the bigger challenge in South Africa, which is getting a lot of new generation built soon so we can stop having power cuts.
Excellent. That's very interesting. So we're coming towards the end of the conversation, but I still want to ask you a couple of questions, if you don't mind. I want to talk about your future plan, you know, in terms of growth and expansion, because obviously you're new into the job, but you already have a massive contract that you managed to land. I'm sure you've been working on it quite hard for the last 2 years. Where is the next step in terms of the growth? So where are we going?
Well, look, Tony, we've got a lot of ambition here. At the core of this, we really want to make a meaningful contribution to South Africa in getting ourselves out of this crisis in the near term. But in addition to that, you know, doing this with sustainable technologies and putting our electricity transition on an accelerated path. So, you know, our aim is certainly to be one of the leaders in this space. We believe we've got a solid start here, but we have no intention of stopping. You know, within the next 5 years, we'd like to have more than 2 gigawatts of new renewable capacity enabled through our platform. And, you know, to get that done, we're working with these IPP partners of ours, and we've secured a very significant pipeline of new wind and solar projects that can connect to the grid. Over this time frame, there will be some grid strengthening required for some of the stuff that's going to connect towards the end of the decade. But, you know, one of the key things in South Africa is that we've got these grid constraints that I mentioned, which severely impact near-term new wind generation's ability to connect in the country. So, you know, we've made this a very strategic focus of ours, of securing wind generation pipeline that can connect to the grid. And, you know, that's really important because if you want to supply more than 30% of an industrial customer's load, you can't do that just with solar. There's a natural limit because solar only produces during the daylight hours. So you need this mix of wind and solar to be able to help your customers cover a significant portion of their electricity demand with renewables. And so, you know, that's what we're running hard at. What's next for us is continuing to sign up customers. We signed a first large contract with South Africa's largest commercial property group at the end of last year, Growthpoint. And we're in advanced stages of discussions with a number of other large customers to kind of close out this first portfolio. But our intent is to do at least this annually, you know, for the next 5 years. And then we'll be able to look back and feel proud that we've made a decent contribution to our country and planet.
Excellent. Well, my very last question to you is more of a personal question. You've been abroad, now you're back home. So how does it feel like to be back home and landing big deals?
Yeah, it's great to be back in South Africa. Home is where the heart is. And yeah, nothing better than feeling like you can be doing something that's meaningful for you and hopefully making a positive contribution to your country.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Evan, for this wonderful conversation. And like I say, it looks like Eternal has had a great start and a great contract. So we're really looking forward to seeing you replicating that in other regions, also beyond that, other countries and the continent. Because I think energy trading, that's one of the responses of the crisis that not only we see in South Africa, but also the rest of the continent. But I know people like yourselves, you know, bringing the talent back into Africa are what we need to make it happen. So thank you very much, Evan. And I'm sure our path will cross again. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks for the opportunity, Tony. Great chatting to you.
Excellent. Okay, so you've seen that we've had a conversation with Evan Rice, the CEO, new CEO of Eternal Energy, doing big things there. Energy trader, allowing power to move from where it's generated to where it's needed and making sure that it's done with multiple benefits. Cost benefits, we mentioned about renewable energy certificate, but also procurement from the BEE. So clearly, if that's the message that speaks to you, I think you know what to do. You definitely want to reach out to Evan. If not, you can reach out to us. But for us, we're always very happy, very pleased to be able to bring industry leaders just like Evan that are shaping and making this industry and make things to move forward. Because one step at a time, we can change this continent and solve all the crises that we have. Guys, thank you very much for listening to Renewables in Action, and I see you another time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to this episode of Renewables in Action. I hope you learned one or two things today. If you have, please do take action. Also, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast in Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any other platform that you like. You can reach out to me, Tony Teo, on LinkedIn to connect, to share your feedback. I look forward to speaking with you. Until then, may the sun be with you. See you next time on the Renewables in Action podcast.